Amen. All right, our reading will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, starting at verse number 14. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor,
this is
real love.
Real love.
Neighbor,
this is
real love.
Real love.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, Real Love. I just emphasize saying this is, but this is real love. Now you know today is Valentine's Day. You know that we have our loved ones and we're giving them gifts, flowers, and chocolate. I want you to know florists really love this time of year. Those that have chocolate shops or candy shops that sell a lot of chocolate, they love this time of year. Jewelers love this time of year. And because of the fact that folk are expecting to get some gifts. And in order to get gifts, you got to buy it from somewhere. And wherever you're buying it from, they're loving your business. But then there's a reality, Reverend Rose.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Everybody will get gifts. But some who will receive gifts will be disappointed because the gift did not measure up to their expectations. You see, that's a reality. The reality is that we, a lot of time what we think we ought to get, more times than not, we seem to get less. But then we forget about what is really important. The important thing is that they thought about you.
Amen.
They bought you something. Mm-hmm. And also, amen, too fast, brothers, I think you're going to get out of something. Pastor ain't giving you a way out. I'm just trying to just tell a reality. It's just a reality. It's just a reality of how it is. You know, so, but I want you to know that there is someone who has given us a gift that never disappoints, never measures beneath our expectations, always goes above and beyond what we ever could think. I'm just so excited about Jesus. But as I look at that, I have to take you to how this statements that Jesus made occurred. They all occurred because there was a ruler in the land whose name was Nicodemus. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He had a prominent position, doing well. But one day, this man heard Jesus. And when he heard Jesus, he knew for a fact that Jesus was a teacher that was sent from God. But he would not make it his business to go to Jesus during the day where folk would look at him and wonder, why Nicodemus talking with this dude? So he used the cover of night to go see Jesus. And when he went to go see Jesus, that's when he said to him, Jesus, I know you are a man sent from God. Because I just look at you and what I see, it just radiates God's presence. And when you speak, I look at how people are touched, moved, healed, delivered, set free. Because God's hand is on you. He didn't call him the Messiah, but he just knew that Jesus was like no other. And because of that, he just wanted to have an encounter with him. Then Jesus heard all that and said, cool, bro. But in order for you to change, you must be born. New Revised says from above. Born again. I ain't mad at you. That's King James. Because that's how I memorized it. But what we see here is that Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, bruh, you're just about there. You just got to make some changes. You have to recognize that you have to be born from above. But what Nicodemus could not do was understand what Jesus was saying. So he took it literal, meaning that, wait a minute, when you get old, I'm supposed to go back into my mother's womb and come back out again? He could not see it other than as a literal. He couldn't see it as other than something that had to happen from a biological standpoint. He couldn't see that it was dealing with the spiritual aspect and letting him know that your mind, your heart, and your soul and spirit has to be changed. And that's as he was telling him then and telling us now, it ain't enough, Brother Tommy, just to come to church and shout a little bit. It ain't enough to come here and praise God and say a prayer and give an offering. There's more to being a child of God than doing stuff. If you haven't been changed from the inside out, then all you're doing is showing yourself as a presence, but you don't have any substance because on the inside, there's still an echo. God wants to change his people from the inside out. It ain't enough for us just to come and look good, Brother Freeman. It ain't enough just to do all the right things at the right time. It's about what has God done to you on the inside. Have you had your own encounter with the Lord where he touched you on the inside? You see, because that's what it's really all about. And we see that Nicodemus was struggling with this. And Jesus was letting him know the spirit is just like the wind. It'll blow in and once it touched you, it should change you. You ever go outside on a real windy day? We don't get a whole lot of windy days down here. But where I grew up in Jersey, like this time of year, we go outside and they tell you, boy, you got to be careful. That hawk will jump on you. Ain't that right, Brother Simpson? They say the hawk will jump on you. You got to be ready for that hawk. And what all that is a strong wind that's blowing against you. What direction you're trying to go in, the wind is blowing you, trying to get you to go in another direction. And more times than not, you might turn around because you say it's too cold to be out here anyway. So what he was saying to Nicodemus, bro, that's right, baby. The Spirit of God has to step in to your life. And when it comes like and it touches you. Somebody in here know what I'm talking about? When that Spirit of God is on you, no matter what, you just can't find yourself sitting still in service. When that Spirit of God comes upon you, sometimes you find yourself just crying and you don't know why you're crying because you're not sad, but those are tears of joy. When that Spirit of God comes upon you, you find yourself rising to your feet, praising and thanking God because you think about all that the Lord has done for you, what he brought you from, what he's taken you through, and you are still here. When the Spirit of God blows upon you, even in the midst of your tears, Sister Arissa Davis, I want you to know the Lord's going to meet you right there and give you a peace on the inside that you might even not be able to understand for yourself. But it's God who is touching you. It's his Spirit that moves all throughout this place. And then it brings us to the scripture that we read. And it says in verse 14, because I got to read it one more time. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay with him. You see, I want you to see something. When I studied this and I looked at this, I said, now, in so many ways, it doesn't connect. And then when I looked at what some of the theologians said, and they were saying that they don't understand in some ways why this is here. Well, but then when I stopped and I stepped back and I prayed and I looked at it, God showed this to me. You want to hear it? You see, in Numbers chapter 21, from verses 1 through 9, when you get a chance, write it down. Go and look. What happened was, in Numbers 21, they are still in the wilderness. Why are they in the wilderness? Because they did not trust Caleb and Hoshea, who was Joshua, in saying that we can go into the promised land. Rather than believe the two, they decided to believe the 10. And the 10 said, we can't go do it, even though they had the blessings in their hands. And with having the blessings in their hand, they were denying what they could see with their own two eyes and saying that the truth is really a lie. And once they did that, God said, guess what? Y'all ain't gonna step in to your blessing. So since you ain't going to step into your blessing, it is not a blessing that's denied. It's a blessing that's being delayed. And because of that, a group of them had to leave this place before the blessing could materialize itself. So now they're wandering in the wilderness. Angel, they are griping. They're griping because of the fact that they're getting tired of eating that same old manna. They're griping because of the lack of food and water. And then Deacon Booth, they had the audacity to say, why you bring us out here to die? We had everything we needed back in Egypt. You know what that's like? That's like a sister who's been delivered from a man that has been abusing her over and over again. And now that she got away from that relationship, she's now living where, you know, she might not have the means she had with the other dude. And she's saying, shucks, I had it better over there. Oh, you did. Well, you had to go to the hospital every other week. You got bones fractured. You always had your face all puffy from being beat up. So you're trying to tell me you were better off with that. I'm sorry, catch myself. With that dude. Now, I don't use that word anyway. You know, I had to mess with it. You follow what I'm saying? Going back to Egypt is like going back to an abusive relationship. And God said, really? You want to go back to get beat up? So God stepped away. Serpents, poisonous serpents, came into their midst, began to bite the people. And as they were bitten, they were intoxicated with the venom from the serpents. And being intoxicated with that venom, we see what happened is that they began to die. So the people began to become afraid and coming to Moses because they had already blamed God and Moses for their situation. But now they're coming to Moses and saying, you got to pray for us because we need some help because these snakes are killing us. Moses prays to God. God tells him, Deacon Rosa, that create a brass serpent. Put it on a pole. Sit it up high. Let the people know. Whenever you are bitten by the serpent, don't look down. But you gotta look up. Lift up your hands. And when you lift up your hands and look at the serpent, the brass serpent, you will live. So in essence, the antidote to the snakes that were biting them was not down below, but the answer was up high. So they had to look up to get their healing. Look up for change to come. I know sometimes life throws us curves. I know sometimes the money gets funny. I know sometimes your relationships get on your nerves every now and then. I know your kids just every now and then pluck your nerve. But I want you to understand something. Don't get stuck looking down. Because if you stay looking down long enough, Sister Fee, it's going to bring you. That's why when we're going through stuff, you got to learn how to. And then Jesus said, can I go there now? You see the serpents biting, killing. Now we see Jesus said, he also must be lifted up. And he says that if he is lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You know why, y'all? Because check this out. Sin is lurking around us. Brother Smith, sin is trying to slither in your life. And when it gets close enough to you, sin, violence gonna strike. And when sin strikes us, what's It releases the venom of sin in our lives. And when that happens, what happens is that if you continue to allow that sin to win in your life, it will drag you down. Because the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is what? And what we have to understand is that God wants all of us to have eternal life. And in order to get eternal life, that means you must lift up your... But wait a minute, why does all that make a sense to us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That if everybody who believes in him shall not what? But have. You know what that's called? Real love. It's a love that is unconditional. You see, God understood that we in this world were just like those complaining Israelites. We weren't happy with what we had. We were doing our own thing. Found ourselves falling flat on our faces. But the Father loved us. He realized that he had to come and get us. Because left under our own discretion, we was going to kill ourselves in what we were doing. But the love that the Father has for us is an unconditional love. A love that comes and gets us right where we are. Even if some folks still going to hate on God, God ain't going to ever hate on us. Because we are God's creation. He loves us. He cares for us. He's going to always be right there for us. So that's why I am so grateful that we understand what real love is. If you want to know what love is, look at God. Because God looked down at this world. He saw that his creation had become chaotic. The Jews kept the word to themselves, didn't share it with the world. And now God says, I can't leave them in this state. And in order to get them out of their current condition, I got to do something. He said, Jesus, come here. He said, son, come here. He said, you know I love you, right? Yes, I know that, Daddy. And Daddy, I love you too. Well, I need you to do something. I need you to be the ultimate sacrifice for the world. Because the world isn't even going to understand what you do when you do it. But still, I want you to pay the ultimate price for them. Son, it is going to hurt me like I've never been hurt before. Because you are closer to me. You are connected to me. But I'm going to have you step away from me. Step down in that muck and mire. Step into that cesspool of sin. Step into all that hostility. Step into all that anger and frustration. Step into all that backstabbing. Step into all the haters in the house. Step into those that ain't going to like nothing that you do. But son, you got to do it. Because I need you to be the ultimate sacrifice. You know I love you and I love them as well. So I need you to do what nobody else can do. So you know what Jesus did? Jesus stepped down through 42 generations. Stepped in to this world. Made the ultimate sacrifice, and he died for the entire world with the understanding that everybody in the world wouldn't understand it. Some folks still would mock him. Others would say he doesn't exist. Others would say we don't need a God. Others would laugh at the whole concept of someone dying for everybody. But you know what? I am so thankful that the Lord sent that wind, which is his Holy Spirit, and it has blown on all our lives, met us right where we are. And since he's done that, we understand how much God loves us, how his love is real for us. That's how come we thank him. That's how come we praise him, because we serve a mighty good God who always steps in right on time, because he loves us just the way we are. He didn't say fix anything. Just come to me just the way you are. Now that's real love. So anytime angel, some brother gonna come up to you and tell you, well, you know I love you. We cool, angel. I know we cool. He come up to you talking about that love. He got to bring some evidence of that love. And it's not just him saying it. You know what? You ought to know he loves you by how he treats you before he even says it to you. Do I got a witness in God's house? Love ain't got to always come from the mouth. It comes from digging booth. You know, every morning James get up and do what he got to do. And when it's over, James coming back home. Why? Because he loves. Oh, somebody going to work with me. Sharonda, ain't that true about your boo? He gonna go up to the school, teach them kids, do all that he got to do. But guess what? You know, 5 o'clock, here he come. Hey, baby. Love brings you home. Love keeps you intact. You see, I, if he gotta always tell you he loves you, is that on you or is that on him? He come home with his check in his pocket. Well, now it's sophisticated. It's already in the statement, already in the bank. You ain't got to wonder where his money is. The Bible says where a man's treasure is. So sister girl, you wonder about your boo? You ought to just check where his money is. If his money is with your money, you ain't got to worry about. Brothers, y'all can pay me later. Sisters, it's a two-way street. He says how he loves you. You let him know you love him. It ain't got to be that you always got to be telling him that. Because when he get under them covers at night, you right there with him and everybody warm together, if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, come on now. I ain't going no further than that. Why? Because of the fact that you're there for one another. And if we're there for one another at all times, you ain't always got to say the words out your mouth. Those words ought to be through your actions. And I'm so thankful that we serve a God of action. He don't just tell us how he loves us. He shows us how he loves us. And we can see it all throughout his actions, from Genesis to Revelations. God shows us just how much he loves us. And I want you to know, Reverend Rose, that's called real love. Now, after we understand the real love, there's a struggle piece. You know what the struggle piece is? It's us. But can I give you your breakthrough right now? Look at verse 17. Check this out. Indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
You are not
condemned.
Hallelujah.
About 7 more minutes, I'm going to be done. Maybe 10 if y'all don't talk to me.
Hallelujah.
Check this out. Check this out. There's nobody harder on us than we are on. We've come in and accepted Christ in our lives. We thank God. But even now that we're on the inside, there are some aspects in our lives that we're still condemning ourselves for what we've done. We say that the Lord has set us free and that he's healed and delivered us. But there's still some aspects in us that we haven't learned how to even forgive ourselves. You know, there are some things in my life I ain't too thrilled about and you ain't going to know nothing about. But what you know what I had to come to the realization of understanding? That as long as I was harboring the things that I've done wrong and I held on to those things, I want you to know that God could not have his way with me 100%. You see, I want you to realize God wants to utilize us 100%. But we struggle to sometimes even give God 50% because we're still holding on to some stuff that we did and we haven't learned how to forgive ourselves. So since we ain't learned how to forgive ourselves, then we can't embrace God ever forgiving us. And then what happens with us is that once we recognize and realize that we can be forgiven and that we learn how to forgive ourselves, you'll reach such a place of freedom. You know why you'll reach that place? Because what you will come to understand, Sister Ruby, is that it's the blood. You've been covered in the blood of the Lamb. And what allows that blood to cover you is that it's God's real love. Because of God's real love, that blood has covered a multitude of sins. And since that blood has covered all your sins, you ain't got to sit there and put yourself on a guilt trip. And once you get over your own guilt trip, you know what you can say? I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you say about me, how you talk about me. I know what I did. I know what I was like. But the blood of the Lamb has covered me. God has shown me real love. And since I've got that real love, I ain't gonna let you pull me back. I know that God loves me because Jesus came and paid the price to save me. And now that I'm saved, I'm gonna walk like I'm saved. I'm gonna talk like I'm saved. I'm gonna hold my head up high. I know, Sharonda, everything ain't right. But I serve a God who's got it all right. And when I put my hand in God's unchanging hand, he's going to make a way out of no way. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? All you got to do, put your trust in God. Watch and see what he'll do. I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, you are not condemned. Why? Because all of us have received the real love. Can I tell y'all this? I've never shared this with y'all before. Ain't gonna take but a minute or two. When I was working for Federal Paperboy, when I had gave my life to Christ, and I was reading the Bible, because I was struggling with some areas in my life. You know, Lord, I know you saved me. But what about that? That over there. What about all them times when I was saying all that negativity about you and so on and so on and so on? I ain't telling y'all nothing now. You know what? God showed me. Because at St. Paul's Baptist Church in Montclair, New Jersey, in 1998, I gave my life in October. And in 1990, Pastor Battle implemented a plan for everybody in the church to read the Bible in a year. So that's the first time I read the Bible. And you know what version I read, Sister V? King James. That's why I can memorize King James. So as I was reading it, I see it like it was yesterday. I was sitting at my desk at Federal Paperboy at lunchtime. Everybody else went to lunch, and I had gotten a few chapters behind because of my work schedule. So I was sitting at my desk, and I was reading the Gospel of John. I got to chapter 15, and I got to the verse where Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I." That verse freed me. Do you hear what I'm saying? It freed me. You know why it freed me? Because I said, God, you're better than an x-ray machine. You're better than a CAT scan. You're better than an MRI. You see me and all the stuff I've done in my life. But you still chose to choose me in spite of all that I've done. And from that moment on, I wouldn't let nobody hold me back on what they knew about my past. Because I have experienced the real love of Jesus Christ, who loved me in spite of me, brought me a mighty long way. But that's my story. But I want you to know, you got your story. But don't let nothing hold you back or condemn any aspect of your life, because God has freed you. And you know what he used to do it? Real love. It's a love that you can't begin to explain. You can't fully even define it. But what you know, Sister Rose, is that it had it all, had God wrapped up all in it. And since God is wrapped up all in it, you know what? I know I'm going to be all right. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you all right? You see, because I want you to realize that the word of God ought to make you all right and then some. You see, we might never get to 100%, but I want you to know we ought to get as close to 100 as we possibly can, because we serve a God who loves us, empowers us, enriches us. Somebody ought to praise him right now. Somebody ought to thank him right now. I tell you, we serve a mighty good God. He showed us real love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the real love and for the Father loving us and you accepting what some might call mission impossible. So I'm thankful. I hope you are too. Let us all rise to our feet. You see, my brothers and sisters, God loves you today. And guess how he loves you? Just the way you are. He ain't asking you to fix nothing. He just says, come as you are. And when you come as you are, God takes care of everything else, because he loves you just the way you are. But I want you to know that. But when you come, you're not going to stay the way you are. But what God is saying to you, I accept you and all the stuff in you. So just come to me. And when you come, watch and see what God will do.